It's time for Q&A in the Kitchen. It's a podcast and YouTube series where tattoo artists and piercer talk about some of the more common questions that people that collect tattoos and piercings may have. Brought to you in part by Skin Kitchen Tattoo and the Axiom Body Piercing Studio. Located right here in sunny, extremely hot Des Moines. And today we've got a full crew, all four of us. This is exciting. To my far right, your left, right?
Left, right.
Is Jimmy St. John, tattoo artist at the Skin Kitchen, right next to me here. To my right, your left, is Jack Lowe of the Skin Kitchen, tattoo artist and the owner. I'm Debo. I pierce and I do the and I own the Axiom part of it, the piercing part of things. And then we have Brent Starr over here, tattoo artist at the Skin Kitchen. Today we're going to talk about something that I think is kind of interesting, and we'll talk about. I'll try to bring in like the piercing side of this too, but tattoo artists or artists in general that use and manipulate photos to the point where they look nothing like the original photos. They totally misrepresent the quality of the art that they're actually doing.
Or are they?
Or are they?
That's the discussion.
Okay.
So
who wants to start it off?
I kind of been thinking about this one because when it first started to get popular that, you know, artists were promoting themselves on Instagram and such, the filters weren't as good. So it was more obvious, and I didn't like it. Yeah. You know, I thought that it, you know, like you said, it was like misrepresenting, and that's not a true, you know, whatever. But as time has gone on, and the more I'm on Instagram, because I wasn't on it for a long, long time, but lately I have been, so. My thought is, you almost have to.
Yeah.
Because everybody does it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't, then yeah, it might be a more honest representation of what you've done, but it's going to look like crap to most of the work on there because everybody juices it a little bit. Now, and some people are flagrant. And it's not like they're trying to say, oh, no, man, I didn't doctor it. I mean, it's very obviously done. Which I guess I kind of respect, and I think for the overall photo, of the art, overall photo, it's a better photo. But if you're looking at it in a forensic manner to see how good the work is and where, that's not a good photo to judge that
by.
Exactly. Okay. So I do it to an extent depending on the photos.
Yeah.
Sometimes the photo right out of the camera, I'm like, that's... That looks like it. It looks good, you know. And I won't touch it at all. But other things, like just yesterday, day before I did that Buddha on the guy and
which
all
was
that.
Beautiful, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'll try to put a photo up for it.
He was so friggin' tan.
Yeah.
That when I was taking the photos of it, when I looked back at him, I'm like, man, it's just like this. That just did not photograph well.
No contrast, basically. For less contrast.
And it was a problem getting the camera to adjust to this dark skin, but show... It just didn't come off very well.
Right.
So I obviously doctored it. I took a lot of the saturation out of the photo. I made it almost black and white photo.
Yeah.
Because it just made it more legible and... To me, it represented what the tattoo looked like in person more, even though it was unsaturated.
Yeah,
well, I like that. Desaturating it rather than adjusting anything else.
Yeah, it pulls the redness out a bit. It might represent a little bit of what it would look like healed, you know. But then again, a lot of people say that they like that kind of red glow that it has, you know, that kind of, you know, that color to it. So... I mean, to each his own. I think you can look at a person's body of work, you know, go to their page and look at their photos, and even if they're all doctored, you can still get a good idea of their skill level and what they do and everything else. But you do have to remind yourself, and even I do, because I'll look at some of these photos and go, freaking quit, bro, I quit. you know, they're just so amazingly saturated and just vibrant. But if you play around with the editing, it does not take very much to make a color tattoo look wow. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It doesn't take a whole lot. So in this day and age, I don't know, I'm kind of the opinion of, you know, do you? Some people flagrantly do it just to make their photo overall look nice, cool. But really, it's just kind of a, it's only part of the information. I don't think anybody, or maybe they do, choose their artist strictly off of that.
It's a couple of different things. First off, it raises the expectations of the client that they're getting. And I think it kind of shoots themselves in the foot.
That's a great point.
Yeah. The other thing is it's kind of, we've all dealt with, you take the photo, I mean, I don't think a lot of people understand this outside the industry, or maybe that haven't, I don't know. You have that 5 seconds to take that picture of that tattoo or the piercing or whatever, and you may never see that person again. Mm-hmm. It's usually not under the best conditions, and you guys use your phones a lot. And, yeah, phones have gotten a lot better than they used to be, but they still, it's hard to mess with the, sometimes with the, they'll overexpose or they'll underexpose, mm-hmm. and you're not. It's hard to control it.
And on top of that, your customer just been sitting for 5, 6, 7 hours. They want to get the hell out of there. They're shaky. They're worn out. You're all spent. Your brain's blasted. You've been staring at this design literally all day. So you try to smash, you know, a whole bunch of photos as best you can, as fast as you can.
And hope there's a good one in it.
Right. Yeah. And it's heartbreaking sometimes when you go to look at the photos and go, man.
Yeah. I know. We had this, me and Jimmy had this discussion over your tattoo of the week last week. I'm just like, it's good enough to represent it, and I could probably spend 3 hours trying to fix this, but there's not a lot of information there to work with in the beginning. Right. So it does represent
like,
it.
You know, a lot of people do that, but I've never edited or filtered or whatever the F you call that crap now. Like, I sound old, I know, but like, I just don't do it. I don't have the time or the effort, and I'm, you know.
Yeah, it's apathy.
Well, whatever you want to call it. Like, I've got tattoos to do and stuff like that. Like, I don't got time to be worried about, you know, how good they look on social media.
But so you don't think it matters?
I think it matters. But, you know, just like you were saying, you can get a really good idea of what people's work is. Mm-hmm. Even if you go to the guy, like there's a lot of people like the old schoolers, they don't doctor up their pictures. They take a picture of it and there it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what they can do. That's what they did.
Yeah.
If you like it, cool. If you don't, cool.
Right.
But like, you know, some of that stuff, like you're saying, you know, you look at it and you're just like, God, you know, I quit.
Yeah. You know,
how the hell did they do that?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, but you got to remember, like a lot of that stuff's not real. And then when it, you know, you see it somewhere like a healed picture later where they got some other piece of work done and you get a glimpse of that tattoo that then you remember back and you're like, I remember when that looked like this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look anything like that now.
You know, it really is kind of setting yourself up for false, you know, they're going to expect you know, so you're really, like you said, you are kind of shooting yourself in the foot in a way. It's like you're overrepresenting maybe in a way what you can do. But
it's like one of the things I used to, I had a buddy that owned fine dine restaurants and he always had problems with reviews and et cetera. And I'm like, make this place look like a dive. And he's like, what do you mean? I go, if it was like a dive and you were serving this food here.
Yeah.
These people would rave about this place.
Yep.
But it's that expectation that's set so high that it's hard to match.
That's a good, really good point.
Yeah, you're window selling. You're selling like this Ferrari, and then when you go inside, it's a Pinto dealership. Like,
Well,
the windows had Ferraris on.
It's just one of those fake shells over a Pinto.
Yeah,
right.
They both have the horse on the
Volkswagen conversion.
Yeah, they both have little horses on them for the emblems and stuff. It's just like the Ferrari.
From the rear end.
It's a Ferrari. It's a Ferrari compatible.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's got like a.
It's a Pinto
Ferrari. Same basic engineering.
A Ferrari.
It's a vehicular hermaphrodite.
Vehicular hermaphrodite.
It doesn't identify.
That's
no
perfect. That would be a great license plate.
Now, there's a couple other things. Basically, you kind of brought up a point where it's like, I don't have the time.
Yeah.
Well,
and it just makes me wonder who had the time to sit there and try to edit this photo they took.
Well, I mean, if you look around in the world today, everybody you see is doing this.
Yeah, I know.
Like, nobody's looking up anymore and actually living life. They're all looking at it through a screen that somebody else is doing somewhere else because that's where they want to be.
And feeling sad that their life isn't that great.
Yeah, and feeling that they're not doing as great.
And understand everybody that does that, those people's lives aren't as great as they think they are.
But that's the,
okay, I know,
yeah,
that's
right,
the thing.
You're right. But that's the people that have time to do that kind of stuff. Yeah. They're walking around and they're just looking at, you know, their thing and doing their stuff. And like, it's why they walk into you at the fair. It's why they walk into trash cans. It's why they walk into traffic.
And see, for me, you know, I would much rather, instead of chasing those likes on social media, I'd much rather grow my clientele and improve my art.
Right. But that's what you're doing through
it. It does.
It's growing your clientele.
It's all the, you know, where do you put your focus? You know, what's important to you and how much time and do you have left over to give it? And, you know, like, yeah, me, I'd much rather be tattooing or drawing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very lucky enough to I've been doing it long enough in an area where I've got a great clientele where I don't have to really sell myself that much.
You don't have to,
you know, hustle. I just have to keep a presence there.
I think that's a large part of it for me now too. I've been doing it so long and I'm kind of like you. Like,
yeah.
You know, I've got a lot of work. I don't have to go out and sell myself.
And now that the industry is getting so saturated, with artists and there's so many, there's a lot more competition for that canvas, that skin.
For that eye time. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that, you know, if you're trying to build up a clientele, you've been only at it a few years, you're a phenom, but you got to stand out somehow, you know, because there is just thousands and thousands of incredible tattooers now.
Yes.
Well, so, I've
always described any social media as a bunch of people standing in a room screaming at the top of their lungs. That's really what it is.
I know.
Yeah.
You go through your feed and it's like, he's yelling, she's yelling, she's yelling, they're yelling.
Yeah.
I don't care about what they're yelling about, you know, and that's what it is.
Yeah. I remember back working for Billy Easton at, Capital Tattoo when we were doing the Richmond Tattoo Convention, and around that time is when he absolutely forced me to get a MySpace.
Yeah.
Because it was like the first.
Did you bedazzle it? Did you put all those GIFs on there?
Nope.
Come on, man. You got to have that page. No. It takes 35 minutes for it to load.
No.
The man eats macaroni and cheese.
I know, I get it.
That's like, he eats meat and cheese and a potato.
And
like,
yard birds.
You think he's going to bedazzle his Facebook page? He can't, you know, come on, man.
I'm too busy bedazzling myself, baby.
He is like the purest, simplest man I know, I think. Just, you know, simple pleasures.
So you made you get on MySpace.
Yeah, he forced me to get on that. And I remember thinking, I hate this.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, okay, cool. You're growing, you're building a business, you're putting yourself out there and all that. That stuff's great. But now, okay, on top of everything else you got going on, you got another 1,000 people that want to conversate with you from all over the world. And no offense, you want to conversate about dumb stuff. Like, it's not about directly like coming and getting work done. Like, now you're like, oh, when I see you, or maybe if I run across you in some time, maybe we can, like, great. Thanks.
See, but, probably during that period of time, or during the period like before that with Rec Art Barty Art, that I learned that if I did answer those questions from the guy from New Jersey and Florida or whatever, they, whenever they were on a forum or anywhere else, somebody'd be like, does anybody know anybody in Des Moines?
Yeah, it's all
Eventually. It's just not the dividends it would be if you're talking directly to clients.
And there's a lot of artists that aren't like hobnobby people. They like to just sit in their cave and draw. Yeah. You know, they're very introverted and they're not about that. You know, there's a lot of artists that are that way. So, I mean, you can put yourself out there as Mr. Chatty, I guess, and try to shake everybody's hand. But, you know, I still think it's possible to have a presence online and, you know, and not be inundated with, you know.
It is. You just got to learn how to manage it a little better now, you know.
Yeah.
But back when it first came out, like, it was a little overwhelming. I was just like, oh,
well,
God.
That's true. And we have Jesse here that, you know,
gets
all of that, you know. Because when people do reach out to me, you know, I will try to answer their questions that they have as quickly and, you know, as politely as I can, as often as I can.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I'm like, call Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have to take that time. I don't have to set apart another 10-15 minutes or find time to get back with them to schedule to all that.
Right.
You know, it's very streamlined into where that means I can put more energy and more time into my actual tattooing and everything else and still have maybe some time left over to think about something else if that's possible.
Every once in a while, get a motorcycle thought in.
Yeah, it's nuts, man. I've been a tattooer a long, long time, but I've never been a single tattooer. You know, so I always had another part of my life. You know, I
the
had,
man behind
I
had the woman behind or the man well, behind the jack.
I had my relationship, which was just as important as the shop. You know what I mean? I had these two things and they were very separate, but very together. Mm-hmm. And now I just have the shop.
Yeah.
And it's just really weird. It just shows you that you do only have so much energy and so much focus, and a relationship or, you know, something else takes from that. Like, I've never felt so invigorated and dying to tattoo, you know, ever in my life until I got single.
Yeah.
It's really weird. That was a weird offshoot, I guess. But
yeah, I guess
it comes down to the energy and time that you're willing to spend to get where you want to go, I guess.
Right. You're not being distracted.
Yeah,
you don't feel obligated. I think that's always been a struggle, and maybe someday we'll do a podcast on that about struggling with relationships, working in this industry.
Yeah, it's not
a good idea.
Because it is not a...
Write that down.
Actually, we might do that today. Anyway, we usually film three of these at a time, just to let you know behind the magic.
Yeah.
And record. Here's the other thing, though. Instagram is a visual art. That's a lot of it. A lot of it's, you know, that's what is. Now they're trying to switch over to video, but that's beside the point. They want to become the new TikTok. Why? I don't understand.
Oh, one's enough.
Yeah, please.
Well, one, it's like you're changing your personality. This is why people go there. Why would you change that? It doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm not making the kind of money they are.
You're not a billionaire, so you don't know.
But if you're, it's kind of the concept of you take a photo of a painting or a piece of sculpture. Is that photo an art piece in itself, even though you may manipulate it and et cetera? So maybe that's really where this is all going eventually.
Okay.
It's not so much about advertising as much it is about a perception of the art or how they see it in their mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
I think every time something like that gets transcribed or, you know, depicted in another frame of view, you kind of lose the original idea, concept, or, you know, it's kind of like the telephone game, you know, where things kind of get like a little watered down.
A copy of a copy of a copy.
It becomes a different art.
Right. Yeah, right. Totally. And it's still an art. Yeah.
But I guess.
But isn't that what art is? I mean, you sculpt something and it makes you, and you did it for a certain reason that makes you feel a certain way, and you set it there and you have fun enjoying listening to what it does to other people. So it's almost, that's what you're supposed to do with art.
Right.
You know, if I did a tattoo on someone and then their photographer said, man, I want to shoot you, you know, I want to do some neat tattoo photography. I mean, he's seeing my art and doing some, you know, making his art,
right,
you know, inspired by or catapulted off of.
And it's really cool to see things from other people's perspective.
Yeah, I think that's the fun thing.
Yeah,
like, you know, some people would look at a piece of art that you did out of total love and joy, but to them it brings them to a dark place.
Yeah.
You know, that's art. I mean, that's what art is, you know. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you create art and you're trying to invoke a certain, you know, emotion in people. You want to show people what you're feeling, just like a poet or, you know, anything else. You're trying to explain your emotions.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, I think it's fun to see where it takes other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that in that regard, Instagram is kind of that. Like I said, you know, sometimes it's just a really pretty photo.
Yeah.
You know, and it happens to be a tattoo they did. But the art, it's another piece of art inspired by the tattoo.
Go ahead.
Really dynamic photos.
Right.
Recently. I mean, they're just incredible.
You know, you're looking at it and you're like, there's no way that's ever going to look like that after a week.
But but if you're taking a portrait of, you know, a picture of someone's face or something, you're going to prep the skin. You're going to make it nice. You know, you're going to make it look
gonna
as pretty as you can.
You're
going
to put the oil on there. You're going to do all the other stuff that you need to do.
That doesn't mean
makeup, whatever it takes.
So maybe the intention isn't to make you think, oh, man, it always looks like that.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, but if you thought that, that's not.
You missed the point.
Yeah. It's, well, we wanted to make this tattoo look nice for the photo.
Right.
Just like you want your car to be clean when you take a photo or your face.
Yeah, just like the burger on the stand when you go to buy something. And it look, you know, right. That. That's it not what it looks like.
Right.
Yeah. Like that at all.
No. That's not the burger for you.
But you still go there to get it. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Yeah. If people think it benefits them to doctor their photos and they're willing to have people, because you're always going to have haters, you know, you're going to have insecure people or whatever. Oh, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, but if it's, I say go for it.
Yeah.
You know, I think you're only kind of setting yourself up.
Yeah.
But
I think that from a consumer or collector standpoint, it just brings up the fact that you really do need to go and visit with these people and find the right person.
Oh, absolutely.
And don't just see a bunch of things, the photos they represent themselves on the web as what their work is like.
That's a really good point.
Because I've seen photos, websites, Facebook, MySpace, everything where you like look at these guys' work. And there's like five or six pictures up there, and they all look clean. They look great for what they're doing. And then you see other tattoos they've done, and you begin to realize, well, that is not the norm. That's the exception.
I always tell people, you know, looking at a portfolio is good. You know, you should look at a portfolio, but don't ever base your decision off of that portfolio because you're only seeing the pictures that artist wants you to see.
It's curated. Mm-hmm.
You know, if they took a picture of every single thing they did, that's one thing. But that's not it. This is their absolute best stuff that they want you to see.
Yeah.
So that's why it's more important to walk around town and politely talk to people if they're willing about their tattoos and, you know, ask them about them. Because you're not only going to be able to see that tattoo living in the skin, you're gonna be able to get an idea of what the tattooer is like and if you think you might get along with them on top of it. So especially now, Instagram, all that shit being doctored, it's don't take that as that's it. You know, you use that as one of the small pieces that you would cobble together to go, that's my guy or that's my girl.
And that's where I think word of mouth, you know, like that still just really comes into play, you know.
Yeah.
Just seeing that tattoo on a, you know, friend or family member, you know, like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Where did you get that? Oh, Jack did that. It's King Kitchen. Uh-huh. You got to check him out. All
right. Cool. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's the best. That's custom interaction and your, quality and your consistency of work is everything. You know, you can have the nicest Instagram page on the planet, but you know,
and once you go meet them, you also get a feel for their personality. Because, like, you know, if you're gonna get an 8-hour tattoo with somebody, you're sitting about this close to them for 8 hours.
You might want to get along.
Yeah, you might want to get along and smell good, and you know, be polite and find out about, you know, stuff like that.
It's happened, I think, twice this year that a client came to me. Not because they weren't happy with the work. They were unhappy with the professionalism of the artist. Yeah. Either they were unreliable or they're, you know, they didn't click, you know, one way or another. That's just as important as the person being able to apply a good tattoo. And, you know, like you said, you got to sit there in the same room. Sometimes, you know, I have clients sit 5 times, 7 hours a time, you know, that's a lot of freaking time, you know?
Yeah, man.
So,
you want somebody you feel comfortable with and you can trust.
In every way.
Yeah, and you're going to build a relationship, man. Yes. You know, it's an intimate thing getting tattooed, like, you know,
They're like your little children, you know, you're like, they're like your babies, you know, when you see them. And that's why, I mean, when we see stuff that we did a long time ago, you know, in a way we like cringe and go, man, I wish I could do that all over again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, oh, it's remember you.
Aww. Yeah, I remember when I made you.
Oh, look at you. You're all doing so up. Well. Yeah, it's silly. See, that's why I'm single, see? So I find it, I find it in my, I don't know, my work.
It's okay.
I guess I should mention a little bit about piercing. With piercing, yes, those photos are often done minutes after that piercing is done. There's no heal on that. You don't know how that's going to heal. You don't know what it's going to look like afterwards. And they will adjust various different things, go into you know, Lightroom and Photoshop and clear off some, maybe a little bit of redness and this and that. So that's not always a positive representative. However, usually with piercings, it's more about the execution of the piercing. So you can look at a photo and they may have messed with it, but you kind of have an idea of where that placement was, what that piercer's eye says that should be, how straight it is, what have you. So you get kind of a basic. But, and it's really, the reason why I never have, it never seemed to have photos is because I always had this philosophy that you should only take photos of things that are healed.
Yeah.
And you don't always have people to come back.
Yeah, you don't have that, you know, that it's the, in case you get hit by a bus picture, you know, is what I call it. You know, even if we're not done, I'm like, well, you know, in case you get hit by a bus.
Here we
go. I got, you know, the way it looked. But yeah, the best is when you have clients that are nice enough to take time to come in after it's all nice and healed up and spend a half hour, you know, getting them all prepped and getting the lights good. And, you know, that means a lot, but that's like 2%.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there, I even had clients that would send me like, there was one years ago that sent me a bunch and I wish I knew where the photos are at now, that they'd gone to a professional photographer and had stuff taken.
Awesome.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, here, you've been great for so many years. Here you go. And give me like 5 or 6 prints.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is really neat.
And I stuffed them in a drawer and
Who knows
where they are now. Sorry.
Yeah. It's it reminds you that, you know, practically probably every day in some way, if not every day, often, they're remembering that experience.
Yes.
You know, you're kind of a part of that,
network,
that page in their book, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of a neat thing.
Actually, you know, that if you have a really big piece and you want to, and everybody's always asking, you know, like, what can I get? It doesn't come up a lot, but it's like, how can I get something for my artist? Good idea might be, you know, go get some nice photos taken of the work they've done on you, and you know, have it bound in one of those because it's not that expensive anymore, and a little portfolio. And there you go. Here you go. Thank you.
Yeah,
that'd be a cool gift.
Oh man,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that would be neat. You know, a calendar maybe.
That would be cool too.
Maybe a day planner type of situation. I don't know.
It depends on the, you know. Yeah,
oh, no. I hope they bring it in a shirt. And
that reminds me, we got to come up with a killer idea for a Christmas card this year.
Christmas card.
We got to get a shot picture taken.
Okay.
So we
say that every year and it never happens.
I know, but I'm mentioning it now.
Okay.
So that's pretty good.
So that gives us, you're on top of it.
See?
Swimsuit.
And there's video proof.
And maybe we haven't really pushed this yet, but maybe we should kind of announce that. For those that are in the Des Moines, Iowa area, we are going to do a Halloween party /
customer
appreciation. We'll probably have food. There'll be a couple of special guests. We're kind of working that out. It'll be fun. It gives you an opportunity to come in and just hang out, eat some food.
Yeah, have a drink.
And hang out with your fellow enthusiasts.
Yeah, you hang out with a bunch of weirdos, talk about your tattoos, show them off, you know, put in some plastic fangs and have fun and act like a, have an excuse.
Bob some apples with your vampire teeth.
Yeah, we won't be tattooing or piercing that day. We won't be selling anything.
We're just hanging out with you guys.
We're just
having fun.
Yeah, sharing some food. And
what? October 17th, Sunday, October 17th.
Yeah, bam.
Be we'll there. Have some
be
food
there.
And beverages and entertainment.
Monster drugs.
Sunday.
We're going to turn Vince Auditorium into a giant mud pit.
That's going to be awesome.
All right, guys. You think we covered this pretty well?
Yeah, I think we beat her to death.
Well, first and foremost, if you like this and you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Let us know that you liked it. If you like these type of videos, please subscribe. Hit that notification bell so that you're notified every single time we post something. If you're listening to the podcast version, you can subscribe wherever you listening to this. We do put these out every other Sunday when we have the scheduling time, but you don't want to miss any future ones. We talk about a lot of stuff. If you like swag, you like t-shirts, you like, beach towels, it is still hot out.
Yes.
Check out our merch store. Link's in the description. You can also find it on YouTube in one of those merch bars down below. Other than that, thank you for listening or watching. Here's hoping all your tattoos and piercings heal with ease and without a single issue. And if you're in the Des Moines, Iowa area, we hope to see you for your body piercing and tattooing needs in the future. Have a good night, everybody.
See you guys. Be good to each other.